Welcome to one of Kathy Frey's Motherwise podcasts. Kathy is a best-selling maternity author and award-winning international maternity consultant. During her time as a midwife, she's caught hundreds of babies. So you're in good hands. Enjoy.
Hi everybody, this is Kathy Frey from Motherwise. And what we're going to talk to you about today are the four stages of childbirth and the three phases of labour, and just really giving you a bit of an overview of those. Now, firstly, when we're talking about the four stages, okay, that is the labour and birth, afterbirth, and the vibe. Okay, so I'll go through that in more detail. So when you hear midwives talking about labor and birth, it's because they're like two separate parts. There's the labor, which is the opening and shortening or dilatation of the cervix, effacement and dilatation of the cervix. And then you've got birth, which is once you're fully dilated and you're actually doing the pushing. And then there's the afterbirth, which is the placenta. And then you've got what I like to call the vibe, and a lot of us midwives will talk about that fourth stage of labor, which is the first hour or two after a baby is born. And it's a very, very precious moment in time. You are never, ever going to get that period back. And so I recommend you treat it like a precious bubble that will just go, if you interrupt it too much, with lots of texting and phoning and visitors and noise and disruption and things going on. So I cannot recommend enough that you basically plan ahead that first couple of hours, as soon as the baby's born, you're not contacting the world. Just, you know, the baby still hasn't been weighed. It needs to have skin to skin with mum and its first feed, and mum still has a placenta to be birthed, and we still need to have control of her bleeding, and there might be some perineal suturing, and she might need to have a shower. There's so much going on, and you want to enjoy that moment without it being interrupted with a lot of phone calls and texts and visitors and noise and everything else. Your baby is having that skin-to-skin time, which is so precious, in that first hour or two. Okay, so just really look after it. So that's what we call it, the vibe. You know, when you walk into a room and there's an argument in the room, or there's been a lot of joy and happiness in the room, and you can feel it in the air when you walk in. Well, birth is like that. Birth has its own unique vibe. As soon as that baby's born, it's you can feel like the veil between heaven and earth is thin at that moment in time. And, you know, even if you're not spiritually minded, it's kind of saying that the room feels like a sacred moment is probably my best way to describe it to you. And, you know, it's the arrival of a human being. Another miracle has just occurred. And it is a miracle, because all the things that have to go right for that baby to exist, all the formation of its body, all the anatomy of it, first minute as its whole breathing, the first time it takes extra uterine breaths and its lungs inflates for the first time, and all these amazing things that happen in that first little while. So it is a miracle every time, and you want to just respect it. And anyway, you can obviously see I'm always in awe. Okay, so going back to the stages. So the first stage of labor, the first stage of childbirth is labor. So the effacing and dilatation, or the shortening and opening of the cervix. And then we've got the birth, and then we've got the afterbirth, and then we've got the vibe. Now the labor, the effacement and dilatation or shortening and opening of the cervix, that's really got three phases: latent labor, active labor, and advanced active or transitional labor. Now I want you to imagine that the womb is like a balloon, and the neck of the balloon is the cervix, and that cervix being firm and closed is what's keeping your pregnancy in your belly. And when the cervix opens prematurely, that's a preterm labor, producing a premature baby. So once, generally speaking, the cervix should be long and closed and firm and feeling a bit like your nose. And if you put your finger all the way to the back of your vagina and feel upwards, you can feel that cervix there. And towards the end of your pregnancy, that's when the cervix starts to open and ripen. And oh, sorry, not open, it can open a little bit, but it starts to soften and ripen, I should say. And by the time that your cervix is ready to be dilatating in active labor, it usually feels more like your lips. It's all soft and stretchy. And that takes a while, you know, for the body to literally break things down at a cellular level and sort of change and reduce the contents of those cells to make them softer and more pliable and more flexible and able to stretch, basically. So some of that ripening, softening of your cervix happens naturally towards the end of the pregnancy, and a lot of it can happen in your latent labor. And latent labor is basically every contraction that you have until you're regularly, say, have done about an hour or so of 3 to 4 contractions every 10 minutes, all over a minute long that you can't talk through. So that's 3 to 4 contractions every 10 minutes, all over a minute long that you can't talk through. And once you're doing that, you've established into active labor. And generally, that would start to occur when you are fully effaced. So the cervix is completely shortened and now it's starting to open at the bottom of your womb. So you're fully effaced, completely shortened, and the cervix is opening, and it's opened to about sort of 3, 4, 5 centimeters, and at around that time is when you'll change over from what we call transitional into active labor. And that's where often you might hear a midwife say, oh, she's not in labor yet, and you're thinking, well, I'm having contractions. What she's meaning is she's not established into strong active labor yet, because she's not doing 3 to 4 contractions every 10 minutes all over a minute long that you can't talk through. Now, obviously, some women do labor differently, but that really is our gold standard that we use, particularly with first labors. It can be different by the time you're having your 6th sort of thing, or even your 2nd and 3rd. Okay, but we're talking primarily about the first. And now, so the latent phase, as I say, is every contraction until you're doing 3 to 4 contractions every 10 minutes over a minute long that you can't talk through. So generally, the latent labor typically would be a couple of nights before you would then on the 3rd night establish into active labor. That's pretty common. Not everybody. Some people might go to bed at 9 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock they're having some sort of little light contractions, and at 1 o'clock in the morning it all gets going, and by 7 o'clock they've had a baby. That sometimes happens with the first, not that often though, to be honest. Most women would have 1 or 2 nights of overnight of latent labor, but leading up to establishing into active labor. My all-time record was a woman having her 3rd baby, and she had 10 nights of latent labor. Just 10 nights of niggles, niggle, 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 niggle. And finally, when she did crack on and have a good, strong contraction and get established into active labor, well, yeah, she had her baby like 20 minutes later. Until she's actually established into that labor, well, you know, the latent is supposed to be activity, okay? Women can get so frustrated, oh, why haven't I established into strong labor yet? Let me tell you a secret. The longer the latent, the better. Because the longer the latent, the softer the cervix, the riper the cervix, the stretchier the cervix, and then the shorter the active phase. So you want latent labor. If you have good 3 nights of latent labor, fabulous. Because then when you establish into active labor, gee, you'll only probably be in strong active labor for 3 hours. Yeah, so you want your latent phase. So the and it is nocturnal activity, because that's when your hormones are generally higher. So what typically happens is that on that first night of latent labor, you can like maybe at midnight or something, or late at night anyway, depending on, it's after the sun's gone down, basically, at some stage, and then you'll probably start to feel some period-like cramping sort of sensations, and they might be not that painful, and you can just breathe through them easily, talk through them easily, and they might be sort of it might be 10 or 20 seconds long and occurring every 8 to 10 minutes, something like that. Okay. And often those women, you know, do get some sleep that night. Then the next day, when the sun comes up, and the contractions go down. Totally normal. And during the day, it all peters off and you need to rest. Have the lifestyle of a cat, sleep all day, be awake all night, because you are going to be awake all night. So sleep as much as you can that day. And don't stress about the fact that the contraction stopped. That's exactly what they normally would do. Okay. And then typically the next night is the contractions will kick in a little earlier and be a bit longer and be a bit stronger and be a bit more frequent. They might be 30, 40 seconds, 50 seconds long every 4, 5, 6 minutes, something like that. And again, you may still not crack into strong, establish into strong active labor that night, or you might. There's one thing that's predictable, it's not predictable. And that's all fine, as it should be. But the more interesting thing, to be honest, is what's going on the next morning when the sun does come up. So if you are still having regular contractions, you know, by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning or something like that, if your contractions are still going on, even if they're not 3 or 4 contractions every 10 minutes, but if they're still happening, awesome. You're very likely to have your baby that night. Very likely, if you're contracting during the day, okay, then that means you're probably going to have the baby that night or overnight. Yeah. So once you do establish into that strong active labor, it would be pretty normal to be staying at home until you've done that for an hour or two with a first labor, with a first baby. That would be pretty normal. And so long as the birthing facility that you're going to is somewhere within sort of 20 or 40 minutes from home, then that would be generally fine to be at home for 1 or 2 hours. Because if you transfer too quickly, just the adrenaline of actually being in the drive there and whatnot can actually halt your labor. And you can arrive at birthing suite and not a lot's going on. It's the contractions aren't as regular or as strong or as long as they were. And the charge midwife might say to you, honey bun, you need to go back home and establish properly into active labor. Because once you do establish strongly into active labor, nothing's going to stop those contractions practically. We could potentially hold a woman upside down by her feet and those contractions will still occur generally. And so it all gets very, very exciting once there's no going back on that. And once you get to the hospital, know that the next time you leave, you're going to have a baby in your arms. So that's pretty exciting to be thinking about. Now, once you do establish into that strong active labor, and depending on how soft and ripe your cervix is, how frequent and long and strong your contractions are, typically a good length of time to be dilatating would be around 3 or 4 hours to or less. Certainly, if there's an epidural on board, it will typically be a lot longer, which is another conversation, but you can see another webinar on that I've already recorded. And some women are a lot quicker. But that would generally be about the length of time, especially if you've seen a naturopath or medical herbalist during your pregnancy and you've taken some herbal preparatus medicines, and there's some really great things like red raspberry leaf, etc., that you would be getting told about with seeing a naturopath, medical herbalist, and definitely can make a difference on making it a cervix way more efficient with its dilatating. That's for sure. But you see a professional for getting a good quality prescription and the right dosage with those. And then as you get to around about that sort of 8 to 9 centimeters is when you go into what we call advanced active or transitional labor. And this, honey bun, is the hardest, toughest part of childbirth, if you ask me. And I think if you ask a lot of women who've given birth naturally, I say this is the toughest bit. Often, I think before we give birth, we think that the actual pushing, the actual head coming out is the hardest part. Nah, it's transition. It's that last centimetre or two. the contractions at this stage can be really tumultuous. 4 or 5 contractions every 10 minutes, a minute and a half long, very strong, practically rolling on top of each other, not a lot of break in between. But you know, we get you through this. It's only going to last half an hour or an hour. We get you through this. You can do it. And often at this stage, the midwife may say, make a comment to you saying, are you feeling a little bit of pressure in your bottom? And you're like, oh, yes, I am actually. And I feel like I need to do a poo. And we're like, yeah, that's not your poo. That's your baby. So what happens is that at the beginning, typically at around sort of 8 to 9 centimeters, you start to get this, you have strong level of the pain of the contraction, but then you have this little bit of pressure on your bottom. And gradually, as you change over to 8 centimeters to 9 centimeters to 10 centimeters fully dilated, all that gets stronger and stronger and stronger is the need to push, the pressure. And you really start to not feel pain. It's just pressure, an irresistible urge to push. And what we'll say to you typically is just try and blow through it until you absolutely cannot blow through it and you have to push. When you absolutely have to push, it's typically the sign that you're fully dilatated. And while you're just doing, while you're sort of maybe still at the 8 to 9 centimeters, and we don't really want you pushing yet, perhaps we don't really want you to perhaps tear the cervix. It's good if you can wait till you're fully dilated. That's optimal. That's really how it should be. And so I would tell women myself, what I want you to do is blow ferociously, like you're trying to push a cloud across the sky. Because if you're blowing, you can't push. You can't blow and push at the same stage, same time. So that's a good way. And then when you absolutely must push, then typically you're fully dilated. You've finished the first stage of childbirth, which is the longest, hardest part of it all. And now you're into the pushing stage of the birth of your baby. And that's when things really change so much. The frequency of the contractions change. They often go down to just 2 a minute at that stage, and they can be even longer. And they might be 90 seconds to 2 minutes long, and they're only every 4 or 5 minutes. But it's all pushing. It's all about pressure. It's not about the pain anymore. It's all about the pressure. And you can't not push, really. You truly can't not push. So what happens is that typically you want to take in one really good giant breath at the beginning when the contraction comes in. And it does seem to help if you put your chin down to your chest and you sort of roll up, curl into a ball kind of thing a little bit, and sometimes put your hands behind your knees and pull them back and just 1, 2, 3, and go. You're pushing ferociously. Longer pushes seem to be more effective. So, you know, there's arguments to and fro whether people for and against should coach women when they are pushing or not coach. What I would say is, actually, in my experience, it depends on the woman. Some women just, I don't know, they just get it. Their body gets it, and it just works perfectly. And other women really do need a bit of coaching, and that's fine. You know, this is the first time you pushed a baby out. It's all feeling very foreign. It can be really helpful to have someone give you a bit of direction. So what I would say is generally that what I see works the best is the woman taking in a big breath and not making any sound. So she's pushing all into her bum instead of it coming out her mouth. So it's not it's just a big breath and silence. Kind of thing. And you might get like 2 or 3 really good long strong pushes with every contraction. So you take a big breath in and push for 30 seconds, take another big breath in, push again for 30 seconds, take another breath in, push again, and then that contraction's finished and you go, and then you want to take big in breaths. get the oxygen back into your system because you've just held your breath for a little bit. This is the toughest part on baby, you know, and they do get a little bit of oxygen deprivation when you are doing the pushing. That can be occluding the cord, and they're designed to cope with that, you know, for a while. And that's why we keep an eye on listening to them. But as long as when their heartbeat goes down with you, when you're actively pushing, as long as it comes back up quite quickly afterwards, it doesn't take a slow time to come back up. It needs to quickly come back up. Then that's a good sign. If it takes a long time to slowly come back up after you've stopped pushing, that's telling us that that baby's having late decelerations and is getting really quite tired. But that's what your health professional will be monitoring. But I do find that it's very helpful for baby if the mum can have some really good deep cleansing breaths after she's finished pushing, you know, intentionally take some big breaths in and out and in and out. Remember, the in is more important than the out because you want to bring the oxygen in. So it's not a, it's a, just clearing, re-energizes your bloodstream, re-energizes your baby's bloodstream. This is also actually sometimes a really good time for the mum to be given a litre of fluids IV. Just, you know, by this stage, you might still be thirsty and you're drinking your water and sipping on that between contractions, which is wonderful and you should be doing that. But your body is not actually digesting. So what can happen? It's a bit like when you're doing a marathon. Your body's not focusing a lot on digestion. So you can end up drinking all this water, but it's kind of just sitting in your stomach. And I do have found that if we give the woman a liter of fluids IV, just quickly, just run it through, just rehydrate her body, rehydrates baby, because babies don't like getting a bit dehydrated. Babies don't like it when their mother gets a bit dehydrated. And so that can be really good. It sort of gives you another energy level. So if somebody suggests doing that, yeah, I think it's great. Definitely go for it. Okay, so then eventually you will start to push where your labias will part. And with the push, 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 and they'll close again. And when they do that, we will start to see a peep of the baby's head, which is their vertex, which is this part of the head. We call that vertex peeps. And when we see a peep of the baby's head between contractions, that tells us that the chances of that mother having a cesarean highly unlikely. That baby's getting so low now that it is almost definitely going to be a vaginal birth. And then you'll keep pushing a bit longer. And when you go push, 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 and your labias will part. And then just in between, the baby's head is just sitting there. Just sitting there. Yay! We can see what color its hair is, how much hair it has. And what we can say at that point is you are not having a cesarean. It still doesn't mean that you may not need an assisted delivery with a ventouse. Possibly, but especially if you've had an epidural on board, but certainly you're having that birth vaginally. Basically, very soon after that, typically the baby's born, maybe only 1, 2, 3 contractions. So another 2, 5, 10 minutes and that baby's going to be born. And so when it's born, the head comes out and then the baby, what we call restitutes, so it sort of turns sideways. And then the next contraction, or maybe all on that same contraction, the shoulders come out and poof, the whole baby is there. Oh, and onto you. Magic. And then we have the placenta, and we'll talk another time about that. So those are the 4 stages of childbirth and the 3 phases of labor. And I'm going to wish you all a lovely rest of your week, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast today. Visit kathyfrey.com for lots more free maternity information and downloads. Plus, you can order copies of Kathy's books, browse through her top recommended motherhood products, and check out her popular support package options. kathyfrey.com.